As anyone who lived through 2008 knows, the housing finance market worked until it didn't. Legislation at the time put the government-backed secondary mortgage giants, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, into conservatorship by a new agency. 8 years later, the Federal Housing Finance Agency is still conserving Fannie and Freddie. Now the Government Accountability Office urges Congress to force everybody to clarify their goals so a lingering situation can get off the dime. For more, we turn to Lawrence Evans, Jr., Director of Financial Markets and Community Investment Issues at the GAO. Mr. Evans, good to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us what's going on here. This conservatorship was not supposed to go on and on and on heading into a decade now. Is that correct?
That is correct. Remember, the financial crisis was the worst shock since the Great Depression, and the government intervened on a massive scale to avoid a deeper crisis. And the housing market was ground zero, and Freddie and Fannie, with their massive portfolios, were particularly affected, especially since they were undiversified portfolios. So in 2008, FHFA placed the enterprises into conservatorship out of concern about their deteriorating financial condition. But again, the conservatorships were not meant to be permanent. They were just meant to put Fannie and Freddie on sound financial footing until the government decided what it was going to do about the future of the housing market and the structures for the enterprises.
And FHFA itself is a creature of that legislation signed actually toward the end of his administration by George W. Bush, which replaced two earlier agencies, correct?
That's right. There was concern about oversight of the enterprises as well as their financial condition. So the transfer of the power from those earlier overseers to the FHFA was designed to strengthen oversight and address their financial condition. And remember, the act also authorized the director of FHFA to appoint FHFA as a conservator or a receiver if it came to that. And it turned out 3 months later, it did come to that.
And what is the difference between receivership and conservatorship?
So in conservatorship, the goal is to preserve and conserve the assets and to allow the entity to continue to operate. In receivership, it's almost like FDIC, for example, when it takes over a failed institution. The goal is to liquidate, to get a value back to the creditor.
Receivership's a one-way ticket, in other words, to oblivion.
That's right.
Under conservatorship, I guess the basic problem to be solved here was that the massive portfolios of secondary mortgages that these two organizations held were a mixture of the good stuff and the bad stuff.
That's right. That's right. And remember, a key component of the conservatorship was the government support. Fannie and Freddie required about $187 billion in capital to remain afloat. And then I think the total commitment was about $445 million. The story of the financial crisis can be told through Fannie and Freddie, the same breakdown in risk management at financial institutions that occurred across the large banks occurred at Fannie and Freddie. So they had these large retained portfolios that included a mix of, you know, your conventional home loans to some of the toxic assets, as we call them, the mortgage-backed securities that came from the private sector.
So what did Congress intend for the Federal Housing Finance Agency to do in conservatorship, and why hasn't it done it, or has it done it partially, and I guess to get these two out of conservatorship so they would be clean?
Well, they were given statutory responsibility to ensure the enterprises operated in a safe and sound manner, and that their activities would foster a liquid, efficient, competitive, and resilient national housing finance market. And so to that extent, you know, the entities have been stabilized. Again, this was heavily due to Treasury's intervention on a massive scale. The conservatorship will remain until Congress makes a decision about the future structure of these entities and the future of housing finance.
We're speaking with Lawrence Evans, Jr., Director of Financial Markets and Community Investment Issues at the GAO. In your investigation to make recommendations to Congress, you looked at two strategic plans that the organization FHFA has produced, one just a couple of years ago in 2014, one in 2012, and you say that you noticed subtle differences in them that might be confusing to the markets.
That's
and
right.
Maybe not getting them closer to that goal.
That's right. So you see the same goals, different weights attached to those goals, and different ways to operationalize the goals. And so, as you point out, it's not FHFA lurching one disparate plan to another, but there are some significant differences. And here are a few examples. So the 2012 plan placed a greater weight on contracting the enterprises, right? They wanted to increase guarantee fees. They had strict caps on Fannie and Freddie purchases. This was consistent with the Obama administration goals at the time, and it aimed to establish a new foundation for a new housing finance system. But when you look at the 2014 plan, you see a greater weight, a greater emphasis on maintaining foreclosure prevention activities, and a greater emphasis on the enterprise's goals of fostering liquidity, efficiency, and stability in housing finances. Now you do see the contract goal in play, but it's operationalized different, and the goal is to transfer risk to the private sector as opposed to shrinking the enterprise. And so that's a pretty big difference. Also, there are, if you look at the 2012 plan, it set out to address a number of barriers to entry to make it easier for private entities to gain access to the secondary market. And so they established something called a common securitization platform and did a number of things that were designed to eliminate barriers to entry. However, over time, and if you look at the 2014 plan, most of those actions were scoped down or eliminated, which reflects a reduced emphasis on addressing barriers. And so this has caused some uncertainty about the role of private entities and the role they should be playing in the secondary mortgage market.
So really then what it sounds like you're asking Congress in turn to look for is stability in both the mission, the way it's stated, and how it's going to get there in order for anything to get executed. Because if you keep changing the plan, then that's a good way to guarantee the plan will never happen.
Well, that's right. You know, without explicit direction for the future of the enterprises, you could have another change in leadership at FHFA that would, again, shift the priority. It could set the enterprises on a new path. Could be another vision for their role and the future structure. And then you get these mixed messages to market participants. So we're strongly advocating that Congress should consider legislation that would establish the objective for the future federal role in the housing system.
Now, the director of FHFA is Mel Watt, and he's an Obama administration appointee. Does the next president, Donald Trump, get to appoint someone of his own?
That could happen. So you could have someone who has a different vision. I'm sure the strategic plan would have similar wording, but they could have a different vision, and then you go down a different path, creating additional uncertainty. We maintain a high risk list, and we place housing finance on that list. These are government operations that are at high risk and are in need of transformation to address economy efficiency or effectiveness. And this is an easy one for us. We really need Congress to act because until those decisions are made on the role the federal government will play in housing finance, you know, housing and mortgage markets will continue to pose increased risk to taxpayers and the U.S. financial system.